Good morning. The time is 9:07. Currently a beautiful start weather-wise here in downtown Wausau at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street. Currently plenty of sunshine, fair skies, 31 degrees. I'm Chad Holmes. It is our number two of the Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Again, boy, just for this time of year, really, really nice start weather-wise, getting closer and closer to the weekend, getting closer and closer to Christmas, only 11 days away. But what do we expect weather-wise in the near future, today and through the weekend? Well, to find out, we're joined from Weatherology by our meteorologist, Jennifer Vucicki. And Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning.
Again, it really is a beautiful start here weather-wise in central Wisconsin. Looks like it's going to be another warm day. But it does appear that there is a chance maybe of a little bit of snow as we get towards the weekend.
Oh, there could be. It doesn't really look like too much of a chance, actually. So today we're looking at sunny skies, highs getting into the mid-40s. It is going to be a decent amount above average for this time of the year. We should be in the upper 20s instead. This warm front pushing through the area today with some sunshine and then increasing clouds tonight. Overnight lows around about 29. We do have a slight chance for some rain showers coming in for your Friday with cloudy skies, high around about 41 degrees. A little bit of a better chance for some rain here Friday night. We might see that mixing with snow at times as we'll see those temperatures getting down to around freezing Friday evening. So definitely something to keep in mind, but it doesn't look like we'll be really seeing much accumulating snow, if anything at all. Saturday, we'll have a chance for some rain in the morning hours, otherwise cloudy skies, high around about 38 degrees, 37 here on Sunday, a dry end to the weekend with some cloud cover. Then by Monday, our coolest day this forecast, however, it is still going to be above average, mostly sunny skies, high gets up around about 32.
A lot of quiet weather, right? I mean, anybody that's traveling around this weekend, it's for the most part, and then early next week, not really a lot of concern in terms of tough driving conditions, which we expect actually this time of year.
Yeah, I mean, it's apart from Friday night into early Saturday, it's going to be fairly quiet for the weekend. And like you said, we're really taking a look a little bit farther into the week, at least no rain chances or wet weather through at least Wednesday.
Okay, Jennifer, well, thank you again for the information.
No problem.
That is Jennifer Vucicki, again, joining us from Weatherology. She does each weekday morning at 9:06. Right now in Wausau. Fair skies, temperature of 31 degrees. Our winds are out of the south at 10 miles per hour. The wind chill factor is 22, a dew point of 17, relative humidity of 56%. The barometer way up there at 30.50 inches and a visibility of 10 miles. It is our number two, the Chad Holmes Show, here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Coming up at 9:20, we'll be joined by Paul Micklick talking Wisconsin sports. Don't forget, tonight we have ourselves a big hockey game. The Wausau West High School hockey team looking to stay undefeated in the Wisconsin Valley Conference, but Stevens Point also looking to stay undefeated in the WVC. Wausau West taking on Stevens Point. We will have live coverage right here on Bow Falls Radio, starting with the pregame show at 6:50 and the opening faceoff at 7 o'clock. So again, so very proud, as we talk about so often, to be the only Wausau radio station that still covers on a play-by-play basis high school sports. Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Joined once again across the way by Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
Well, it is Thursday, another week just flying right on by.
Yes,
one,
it is.
One more day till the weekend. Any plans at this time other than waiting for those cast lists to come out for Drowsy Chaperone that you had auditioned for earlier in the week?
Yes, well, while I'm waiting for the cast list on a Saturday evening, I have something very fun planned. A group of friends and myself will be tackling our latest escape room. We are going to a new escape room in Stevens Point. It's a Christmas-themed and it's called The List. And it's really fun because we've been doing this for quite a few years now. We've actually done over 20 escape rooms. We haven't won all of them. We always have fun. Nonetheless, we always
get what is it about these escape rooms that really really able to get you into it? Because, I mean, more than 20 is pretty impressive. What is it about escape rooms that are able to really get you going?
Well, honestly, it's just the solving puzzles and experiencing all these different types of escape rooms and just getting together as a group of friends. And we always get closer with every escape room we do. We always have so much fun together. Even if we fail, we always make it a fun experience, and we keep coming back for more every time. And we're hoping to actually, venture outside of the Wausau area and do more escape rooms that are out of town. We're actually planning a little field trip to Wisconsin Dells to actually tackle some of the escape rooms down there also.
Very, very interesting. So that sounds like a lot of fun. A task that is fun. I got the least favorite daily task. We do daily tasks every single day.
Yeah.
What is your least favorite daily task? The thing that you don't like to do?
Cleaning bathrooms.
That's a good one. I'm not sure.
I used to work at a grocery store. I used to do the nightly duties before we locked up, and one of those was cleaning the bathrooms. So I would do that every night, and not too much information, but it's not my favorite thing.
Well, actually, I got a new survey that reveals that 46% of Americans say that responding to texts is one of their least favorite daily tasks, with most wishing they could find an easier way to handle them. Planning meals and looking ahead at work days are among the other tasks that Americans wish they could find an easier way to do. Other daily tasks that are not favorites, laundry, vacation planning. Yeah, the planning. Yeah. The vacation itself is always something that is enjoyable.
Sometimes the planning can be just as challenging.
Yeah, so, I mean, the planning is the hard part. You gotta make the plans, and then once you make the plans, then everything's fun. Grocery shopping. Yeah, grocery shopping is not one of those great fun tasks. And cooking dinner. Cooking dinner is one of those least favorite tasks. Again,
sometimes it can be a challenge.
Exactly. I guess, again, it's like the planning the vacations. Once you get the job done, then it's great. You're eating. You're having, enjoying the meal or enjoying the vacation. It's the planning, the execution that is one of those really tough aspects.
It's like when you plan a vacation to Disney World. Well, and you have to do all this planning with the travel agent. It's like, which parks do you want to go to? Where do you want to stay at a hotel? Which restaurants do you want to eat at? I mean, all of that, it takes a lot of planning. And sometimes after you come up with a plan, it can be hard to stick to it, because as soon as you get there, it's like, who cares about the plan? Let's just be spontaneous.
Hey,
would be me, honestly, if I went to Disney World.
And I got good news for you, because I know that one of your favorite things is Disney.
Absolutely.
Did you know that tonight at 8 o'clock on the ABC Television Network, Disney 100, A Century of Dreams, a special program on the ABC Television Network tonight. It's a new special celebrating the 100th anniversary of the entertainment company with interviews, rare footage and photos, and never-before-heard stories from those who built the Disney legend. So if you're somebody that enjoys the history of Disney, and I know that you're one of those big Disney fans, so that's one to keep an eye on tonight.
Excellent. I will definitely tune into that.
And also, so I think there are folks out there that have been following The Crown on Netflix. It's been one of the more popular series on Netflix for a while. And the series finale is coming out. tonight. The final six episodes, because people like to binge their programs on these streaming surfaces, the final six episodes will follow the royal family after the death of Diana, a look at the early romance of Prince William and Kate Middleton, Prince Charles' wedding to Camilla, and Princess Margaret's death, among other events. So if you're somebody that's been watching The Crown over their seasons, they are wrapping it up with the final six episodes going on Netflix. I've never had Netflix. Have you had Netflix?
We do have Netflix, and we use it quite often. Especially my dad does. He likes to watch the sports documentaries on Netflix. There's a lot of Westerns on Netflix as well. A little bit of everything. It's hard because a lot of things on the streaming services, they change the services every couple of weeks. Like, there's a lot of movies I watch that are on the Tubi channel. Mm-hmm. It's where you can watch movies for free. And it says it leaves in a couple of days and then moves to Netflix. And then it's on Netflix for a couple of weeks. And then it says, oh, it's leaving here. And now it's going back to Tubi. And then it goes to Max, and then it goes to Paramount, and then it goes to Disney. It's like everybody, like, technically owns these movies. It's just like they switch it around every once in a while, and sometimes it's hard to keep track of, okay, where are all my favorite movies? I wanted to stay in one particular channel. Is that so hard?
Put that in the suggestion box for all these streamers.
Oh, they wouldn't listen to me anyway.
The time is 9:18. Again, Thursday morning, beautiful start. Lots of sunshine here in central Wisconsin. Temperature of 31 degrees. We're going to take a quick break and then come back and talk some Wisconsin sports. Big night for Giannis. Packers trying to continue a playoff push and a whole bunch more. Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230.
A new number one in girls' hoops, plus number one takes down number two in boys' basketball. I'm Travis Wilson, and this is a WISSports.net Minute brought to you by NFHSNetwork.com. More high school sports news after this.
Do you ever wish you could be in two places at once? With homework, carpool, practice, and everything else, sometimes you just can't make it to every game. But the NFHS Network's streaming platform makes that a little easier. For just $11.99 a month, you can watch unlimited high school sports live and on demand, at home or on the go. You can watch online or on one of our mobile or connected TV apps. Visit NFHSNetwork.com and subscribe today to never miss another game.
A new WISSports.net girls basketball coaches poll came out on Tuesday, and it featured a new number one team in the state's largest division. With top-ranked Nina falling to number two Arrowhead last Tuesday in an exciting one-point affair, the teams flip-flop spots in the newest poll. Arrowhead, who is 6-0 after defeating the Waukesha North and South Co-op later that night, moves to the number one position, while Nina drops to second. The other divisions are unchanged, as Pewaukee is the number one team in D2, while Pond leads the way in D3, Laconia is the top team in Division 4, and Assumption edges out the field in Division 5. There were no changes in the top-ranked teams in the boys' basketball coaches poll this week, which also came out on Tuesday. We got a mammoth game in southeast Wisconsin later in the day, as Division 3 top-ranked St. Thomas More welcomed in second-ranked Dominican. It was no surprise it was a high-scoring affair, with Thomas More scoring a 91-78 win behind 32 points from Saku Kanae and 29 points by Amari McCautry. We mentioned Verona girls basketball player Taylor Stremlau earlier this week, as she had a triple-double last week and nearly had a quadruple-double in a different game. Well, Tuesday night she did produce a quadruple-double with 13 points, 17 rebounds, 13 assists, and 11 steals in a win over Madison La Follette. This has been a WISSports.net Minute. Check us out online at WISSports.net.
Full of holes.
Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app, time to talk some Wisconsin sports with Paul Miklik. And I know you're always busy during football season because you're coaching. You have practice every day. But your life doesn't slow down when you get to winter, does it, as the athletic director?
No, there's always
something. You're working the clocks or working the scorer's table at these basketball games and everything else that goes into the job.
Yeah, there's many different hats you got to wear. But, yeah, so it doesn't slow down. It's just a different kind of busy. But
so I can't complain Christmas about my own. I can't in my schedule. So.
Well, you probably can. I mean, like they say, 80% of people don't care, and the other 20% are happy that that your misery.
There you go. Well, you're right. It's almost Christmas time. 11 days away. Doesn't feel like it, I tell you. It's another
supposed to be like 40 today.
I know. Beautiful morning here, but 40, that's nothing. Oh, it's 64.
Where?
Giannis.
You know, the funny thing is, I was wondering what you're going to start with today, and I was hoping that you would start with that today.
I thought, I mean, that's amazing. Just amazing. And the thing about it, the whole, and you heard the story about him wanting the basketball after the game.
Oh, that was the most entertainment I've had in a long time. I watched that last quarter. By the time I got home and I watched that last quarter, I will say that what he did, I mean, that whole thing, the game itself was chippy. And there was one time he got tackled in the fourth quarter on a play, and Portis got a technical, and then he ended up getting a technical right after, so he got ejected within a minute after this happened. And then I watched every time that guy. I know people are saying, oh, he shot 32 free throws. He could have shot 64 three throws if they actually would call fouls.
That's the old story. I don't know if you remember back when Shaq was playing, and he would always say, and people that were truly followers of the game would say, yeah, but he gets hacked, because these big guys do get hacked more than the little guys. And sometimes it's literally, if you did call everything that is a foul, you're right. He could get twice as many free throws every game.
Because he goes so hard to the hole. And these guys have nothing to do but, I mean, to follow him. And the thing is, when you follow him hard, he could get hurt.
And the whole thing about Giannis is he's got this great personality. He's got, I think, he's got a nice side to him. But he reminds me of David Banner, the old Hulk. Don't make me angry. You won't like me when I'm angry, because he does have that edge as well. He's got, and as a coach, you see guys that are talented guys that just either the motor doesn't run all the time or they don't have that intense competitive edge. Giannis is the guy that has everything physically, all the measurables.
Yep.
But he also has that incredible will. And boy, that's an incredible combination, isn't it?
He's a winner. I mean, it's a plain down. He's a winner. He's a winner in life. He's a winner. And the funny thing was, not funny, but more ironic, is after he ran into the other team's area.
Right.
Okay, which technically, to be honest with you, it's not Indiana's area. It's all Milwaukee Bucks. It's Pfizer Forum area. So technically, he can walk anywhere he wants. But
especially Giannis.
Especially Giannis, yes. I mean, you're going to tell Giannis not where to go? I mean,
not in Milwaukee.
Not in Milwaukee. Nice try, though. But he comes out, and they interview him. And I was thinking to myself, how is this interview going to go? Because this is after you can hear him going after the Oshkosh kid and the assistant coach, and he's over there. Yep. And which is interesting. I lost a little respect for him last night. He's a flopper too, by the way. did you ever see? I mean, I know you did, but he's a flopper.
I didn't see any of the game last night. I was working.
Yeah, he's you watch some of the games, he's a king flopper. And he got technical. I mean, Giannis got technical because he flopped on him earlier in the game. But how he comes and controls himself, I don't know how he changed, and he switched it on, and he talked, I mean.
The personal guy.
I mean, because he was angry, I mean, furious. And, some people can say whatever they want about him because, well, who cares? It's a ball you're going to get. You know what? It's pretty petty for the Pacers to go take a ball from a guy that scores 64 points.
I know.
A franchise record.
And the thing about it, in the end, it's not going to help them. Because now Giannis is going to have, every time they play Indiana, he is going to want to show them. Especially if they play in the playoffs. So that's a possibility.
That's a real possibility. I think they play New Year's Day.
Well, they're playing them a lot, aren't they?
They are. It's four times in like a month and like a five-week span. Six-week
and they
span.
Needed this one, actually, because they lost the last couple of times.
They did need this one. And I think we talked last week, going into that Indiana game last Thursday.
Yeah, that was surprising.
They have a chance to make a little run here because they have a lot of these home games before they go on the road just before Christmas to New York. They play at 2 days before Christmas and then on Christmas at New York. But they have to win these next four games and start getting a little cushion. I mean, the thing is, they're in second place. Just think about that. And we're sitting here, and you were
picking
they're
at
terrible.
It.
They're terrible.
I didn't say
they're
they
second
were
place.
I didn't say they were terrible. I'm just saying that we were supposed to see this magical new defense. Apparently, Coach Bud knew a little something about defense. I wonder what he's up to. I haven't heard from him. I don't think he's working. I think he's probably just enjoying
Well, he's probably got money.
Don't even go there.
Yeah, I know. You hate that. You hate that when I do that.
You like to poke those buttons. It's like you keeping the basketball away from me here. We say stuff like that. It gets me all.
Once you get worked up.
You'll get me worked up. Exactly right. So, no. It's like, but again, you know, you're right. I mean, again, this is, and everybody in Milwaukee has been saying it's a process. It's all about, again, we saw last year, they were great in the regular season. It's not about the regular season. Nope. It's about winning a championship. It wasn't about winning the in-season tournament. It's about winning an NBA championship.
And they got to get better defensively. You're right, Chad. I don't think we're.
But you've also mentioned, I agree 100%, it's a different game in the playoffs. Because during the regular season, the intensity on the defensive end, because they're traveling every back-to-back night, it's not easy to have that intensity every single night in an 82-game schedule. As much as we want them to. We got to come back, we have a news update, and then more with Paul Micklin coming up here on WXCO. And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app, talking Wisconsin sports with Paul Micklick. And Packers now, could have been 7-6, but now 6-7. But amazingly, still in a playoff spot, along with Tampa Bay, who they're playing this weekend. Two losing records right now would make the playoffs, but Monday night. And you know, we watched the game, and I think you made a lot of good points in terms of everybody knew what this game was going to be. Yeah, everybody kind of had a feel. This was that classic trap game after the Kansas City win. But at the same time, you know that the Giants, amazingly as it is, I guess on the outside, you know, they still would need a lot to go right to get in. But this was kind of their big game, national TV. And the Packers just came out and were not sharp. In any way, were they?
No, and that's the concerning part, because I don't think that goes on the players in that situation. I know players win the game and lose the game on the field, but you know, when you say, "Oh, we had a good week of practice," and you come out and do this, you know, and they said that earlier in the year too. It was kind of some of those Groundhog Day comments that he was saying that, "Hey, we had a good week of practice. This wasn't what we expected." Well, obviously. You know, and that night, I didn't really like that night he took blame for example, the 2-point conversion. Okay.
You really like that call, didn't you?
No. But I wasn't the only one.
It was an awful call.
Yeah.
So I'm glad.
I'm not even complaining about the call. Right. But he goes, you know, that's my fault at the end of the day, which, again, he's right. At the end of the day, it's his fault. But then the next day, he goes, well, It was an option though, because he actually has an option on that to give it to Corey or to AJ or do the reverse. That he always has an option. Well, in my mind, that's kind of blaming Jordan Love on that.
Exactly.
You know.
So it's my fault. Except the old but.
The old but.
when you say but, then forget about everything you said up to that point.
Correct.
It's like but. No, you're right.
So he was saying, to a point, that maybe because they always have two plays at the line. That's why there's so much stuff going on that we don't know that during the course of the game. But they have two calls probably usually at the line of scrimmage. And usually one's a run, one's a pass, and those options. But with those reverses that they were doing, for example, they could have been running that to AJ a lot of those times. And the thing is, they were in a nickel or a dime defense in that situation. They have five D-backs on the field for that two-point conversion. That's a run. That's a run. If we can't get 3 yards against a dime, we got trouble.
And I saw a good headline in the post-game story I was reading. All three phases. It's amazing they almost won that game because they were not good on special teams. They missed a field goal. The punter was awful. I mean, it was a tough night there. Offense obviously had their struggles with the turnovers and everything else. And then the defense, the last drive was inexplicable. How they just, again, a guy that had not thrown it downfield the whole game, and they're letting him dump it off to get into field goal range. That was inexplicable.
Yep. And they can blame, because in that play, that Nixon, you got to get him off the field because you have help to the middle, okay? So they're playing man underneath. They're only rushing four. If you're playing man underneath and you're only going to rush four and you have the two safeties deep, you're pushing everything to the middle. You can't let him get an outside release. He got an outside release, and he gets 20-some yards and sets him up for a field goal. That's on Nixon. If you're going to have responsibility, then have him sit down and put somebody else in there that's going to do the right thing. That still goes back to coaching. Why didn't we not do the right thing on that? Nixon jumped to the middle, and he let him go outside when you're playing a man. If you're going to play a man underneath, you should have brought more than four guys. You should have brought five. That's again, I'm sorry, but Joe Barry is not the answer.
And also, it's interesting when you think about LaFleur. At this point, when Mike Holmgren was the coach, there was no doubt that he was a great coach.
Yep.
I mean, there was no doubt. There was not a thought, well, he's got this quarterback here that's a great quarterback. No, everybody knew he was a great coach. Despite the record, I still think there's questions on, is Matt LaFleur a great coach? What do you think?
I mean,
or a great coach, maybe a good coach, very good coach. Because if you're a very good coach, you're going to have a job. I think there's a difference between greatness in all areas, whether it's on the field or on the sideline or in the front office. But I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that he's done that's like, you scratch your head.
Correct. But Bill Belichick, I'm going to use Bill Belichick right now.
Yeah.
Before Brady, was he any good?
Yeah, and he had
in
like
Cleveland?
5 years, I think, in Cleveland, if I'm not mistaken.
And he had a losing record.
They had a losing
Brady
record.
Brady leaves. How's he doing? He's going to get fired. You know, I mean, right. My point being is the coaches are as good as their players.
Yes, but also I think there are guys that you say, okay, it's not just the players. This guy knows he's got the presence. And again, I'm not saying that LaFleur can't coach, but there are times where it's like, you look at him and it's, I'm not sure yet. I guess I'm not sold yet. I'm not saying. Right. I shouldn't even say this, but when you see him on the sideline, you keep waiting for him to wave his arms to get the people.
Correct. Correct. And now,
he's a great cheerleader.
All I see is, okay, a play happens and it's third down and three. It's a critical play. What call should I do? Let's do the jet sweep.
Like
that's the only thing that we can come up with. Like, oh, it worked the first three times we did it. That he panics a little bit. Again, we don't know that for a fact.
Right. But
the proof's in the pudding so far. And I think to Ali's last four games, they're all losable. Honestly, and the Bears again are really good right now. Carolina is probably the only one, but the thing is, Carolina's not going to tank it because it doesn't matter because it's not their pick.
That's right.
So these four games are all losable, but they're all winnable.
Yeah,
I think he's got to go 3-1, and I would start, and 3-1 will get him in the playoffs.
Yep.
And I would think that we're going in the right direction.
This week, Tampa Bay. I mean, this is an interesting game. I think Tampa Bay has, I thought, pretty much all year been underachieving to a certain extent. I see some talent on that team. And again, since
Baker Mayfield?
I think, again, the receivers, he's got good receivers. I mean, and he's good enough, I think, to not make this team bad.
Yep.
But it just felt like it hasn't come together. I think since the coaching change in the last 2 years, it's not been the same team. But they're 6-7. They're in the same boat. It feels like a similar kind of feel that they're looking at this game as a winnable game, just like the Packers are.
Yep. And the thing is, they have to be more healthy than we are.
Yeah.
I mean, there's going to be Reed had a concussion. Who knows? It's a short week. If he's going to be able to be back, Wicks has a high ankle sprain. Those high ankle sprains, unless you're the Jacksonville quarterback, you can come back in a week. Especially at receiver spot, that's going to be tough. What weapons are we going to have offensively on Sunday to perform? That's going to be the key. Hopefully, defensively, we should be close to being full. It's going to have to be a defensive game. The defense is going to have to make a play somewhere along the line. And almost scored. Just like last week, they basically almost scored for the offense. At the end of the game, they got down to the 36-yard line after that fumble, that gift. That's how the game is going to have to be played. It's going to have to be played with, they're going to have a special teams huge play or a defense a huge play, because Tampa Bay, they're right in it. Yeah, you're right. They're right in it. Third seed.
Craziness. Craziness. Yes. I mean, it really is. It's craziness. And when you look at Packers and you look at Tampa Bay and you look at Minnesota and you look at New Orleans, you look at, they're all the same team in a sense. They really are. They're all incredibly flawed, and yet a couple of these teams are going to be in the playoffs. It's the old parity in the NFL dream that Pete Rozelle had so many years ago.
What three teams do you think that, I mean, because I think San Francisco, Philly, and Baltimore are probably legit.
It looks like San Francisco is as good as anybody. I think Dallas is knocking on the door. I know, over Philly or equal to Philly. I think after what we saw last week and even the first time they played, I think the matchup is good for Dallas. I think Philly is a good team. But they're not a great team. I mean, I've said this before. We don't see great teams anymore. They're all flawed. I think I would put, you know, if I had a penny, I would put that on Dallas in that matchup. I think Dallas is more dangerous right now.
Especially offensively.
Yeah, and they got the combination. They got a good D. They got a good offense. And especially that offense that is explosive.
Who runs that offense?
Mike McCarthy.
Who got fired because his offense wasn't very good? At Green Bay, just recently,
Mike McCarthy.
Yeah, you know that's a crazy thing about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, they have a lot of talent.
Yeah,
they have a great offensive line. They have a good running back. They have a good quarterback. I mean, not probably the top three, but a guy that's definitely up there. And they got receivers. And they got tight end, the kid from Wisconsin. They got all the pieces, and that's what makes any offense go.
Mm-hmm. Let's touch on college hoops. Both Badgers and Marquette are in the top 25. Marquette, I felt for Sully. He whipped up on Notre Dame on the weekend. Marquette I think you're too young, actually, because I'm a little bit older. Back when I was a kid, Marquette and Notre Dame in basketball was a big game. It was a massive game, and Notre Dame had the number. It was always one of the most fun games of the year. It's always fun to see them beat Notre Dame. That's why I get upset when they lose to the Badgers, because these rivalry games, you got to win.
It is. I mean, because I looked at, I think that was their 100th meeting, or 120th, and I think that Notre Dame's won like 81
of them.
I know,
it's amazing how good Marquette's been for so many years, and Notre Dame has just dominated that series. But Marquette's in action tonight against the University of St. Thomas, the Tommies. But Badgers also have, we're getting, now it's sort of like the lull before the storm, because both these teams will get into the Badgers. I don't think play Big Ten until right after New Year's against Iowa. Yep. Badgers actually, I mean, the Marquette starts off with Georgetown next Friday, so hopefully that won't be again. But it's such a tough conference from top to bottom generally.
And they take Providence in there too.
Oh yeah, they do have on Tuesday of next week. You're right. And obviously Providence, they're going to where the Badgers got whipped up last month. So Providence is a good team. You're exactly right. I was looking wrong. Look at the schedule incorrectly. But
this week is like a lull. You're right.
But next week, I mean, nowadays with these big conferences, you got to start earlier.
They start earlier. I mean, because Wisconsin only has two games that are against. They play Chicago State next Friday, who beat Northwestern last night, and then they have.
I missed that. Wow.
Yeah, that's
Northwestern, who had beat Purdue already.
First time since 1959 that Northwestern was ranked and lost. But first of all, they're probably not ranked that often, but
I know. What a way to go.
Yes, against Chicago State to an unranked team, obviously. And they're like 330th in the rankings.
But the thing about MU in that Notre Dame game is, again, boy, it's the same thing as they did against Texas. They whipped them. I mean, this team is, when they're on, they know how to put that pedal down, don't they?
I mean, if you watch those two games, and you watch the Wisconsin game last Saturday.
I know.
You go to yourself, how did they beat them? Now, I thought Arizona really played at a high level. I didn't think Wisconsin played that bad offensively. I thought they played terribly defensively. So I think Wisconsin's fine, too.
And that's the thing. That when the Badgers have been down a little bit, I mean, it's such an easy cop-out to say, oh, it's the offense. But the games they've lost, especially Providence and now Arizona, you're right. The defense was un-Wisconsin-like in both those games.
They scored like 70 points. Wisconsin's going to score 70 points. They usually win.
Yeah.
I mean, so it was the defense, and they kind of said that more or less as the week has gone on. I would expect them to get back on their horse and get these two games and get ready for the Big Ten. But Marquette, I'll tell you this right now, it's going to be a great season. It's going to be fun. Keep watching them because they're fun to watch.
Talented.
They got different guys shooting it and taking it the hole. They're good.
Yeah. All right. Well, enjoy the sunny day. Enjoy the warmth.
Where are you headed tonight?
I'm heading to Stevens Point for hockey.
That's what I thought.
Big one.
Both undefeated?
In the conference,
yeah.
So it's always significant.
So this is a conference
championship. Big.
You enjoy yourself, Chad. I know you love doing that hockey. And I know you'll have a good week, and we'll see you tomorrow morning.
Hey, thanks for coming in. Paul Miklik joining us, talking Wisconsin sports. We'll come back, have our daily history lesson coming up next. It's Chad Holmes Show on Polk Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Chad Holmes with you on Polk Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, polkfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. The time is 9:51. Today is December the 14th. Again, you look outside, you wouldn't think it's December the 14th, but it is December the 14th. We are down to, 17 days left in 2023, and heading very quickly towards the Christmas and New Year's holidays. And taking a look at, again, our history lesson, looking at some famous events that occurred on this date in history. Back in 1903, 120 years ago today, the Wright brothers made their first attempt to fly with the Wright Flyer at Kitty Hawk, North Carolina. It crashed. 3 days later, after repairs, they got it to fly. Again, it shows it's amazing. We talked about all these people. They're going to be flying all over the country for Christmas, all over the place. It was 120 years ago. We couldn't fly. They crashed. We had not flown at all. I mean, it's amazing how quickly the technology has come into the last century and a half. Amazing stuff.
Truly it is. Absolutely.
On the 14th of December of 1959, the Motown record label was founded in Detroit by Berry Gordy. On this date in 1977... Huge film starring John Travolta, Saturday Night Fever. Saturday Night Fever was released on this date in 1977. On this date in 2003, U.S. President George W. Bush announced the capture of Saddam Hussein. This is one of the most tragic days in our history. I don't know how you can't get emotional when you think about what happened on December the 14th of 2012. 11 years ago today, the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting occurred in Newtown, Connecticut. Adam Lanza fatally shot 20 children and 6 adult staff members. Prior to driving to the school, Lanza shot and killed his mother at their Newtown home. As first responders arrived at the scene, Lanza committed suicide. Again, just one of the most tragic events in our country's history. And again, I changed my belief in this country's ability to do something important when, despite this, the legislation pushed by President Obama was not passed. That the gun lobby was able to stop it, despite 20 elementary school children being slaughtered in their school. Again, one of the saddest events, I think, in my lifetime occurred on this date 11 years ago. On this date in 2016, Amazon announced its first delivery by drone 1.2 miles from a warehouse in the UK. On this date in 2019, the Bel Air Mansion featured in the TV series The Beverly Hillbillies sold for $150 million, becoming California's most expensive property. On this date in 2020, the U.S. Electoral College voted 306 to 232 to officially affirm Joe Biden's presidential election victory. And on this date in 2022, Stephen Twitch Boss, hip-hop dancer, choreographer, actor, and co-host of the Ellen DeGeneres Show, died at the age of 40. According to a report from the Los Angeles Medical Examiner, Boss died on Tuesday at a hotel. The manner of death was suicide by gunshot. Some famous people who are celebrating their birthdays today. Actor Dee Wallace from Cujo and also played Elliot's mom in E.T. the Extraterrestrial. Dee Wallace turning 75 years old today. Archie Cow from Chicago PD turning 54. Jackson Rathbone from the Twilight movies is 39 years old today. Vanessa Hutchins is 35, and singer Tori Kelly turning 31 years old today. Some special events being acknowledged here on the 14th of December. It is Free Shipping Day. It is Biscuits and Gravy Day. It is Screwdriver Day, not the screwdriver you use to, you know.
The drink,
yeah. The cocktail. It is Screwdriver Day. Have you ever had a screwdriver? I've never had a screwdriver.
I don't think I have yet.
No? Neither have I. Maybe today's the day. Nah, I don't think so. It is Monkey Day. It is Roast Chestnuts Day as well. And our number for the day is 1992. And I'll give you a hint. Ooh. That is the year, 1992. This piece of information occurred in 1992. That's our number for the day.
It's a little vague because that could be anything.
Yes,
in 1992.
It is. A lot of things happened in 1992.
I'm not sure I can even take a guess in that one. I'm just going to say I don't know.
It involves the most popular salad dressing in the U.S. Huh. The most popular salad dressing in the U.S. changed in 1992. What do you think became the most popular salad dressing in the United States in 1992?
I'm going to say ranch.
Exactly. Ranch overtook Italian as the most popular salad dressing in the U.S. in 1992.
I like the ranch dressing better than Italian dressing anyway.
So there you go. So that's, you were part of the process getting to number one with ranch. So that is our number of the day, 1992. Well, thanks to our guests, Pat Kreitlow in hour number one, Paul Micklig here in hour number two. Stick around. Coming up, As Goes Wisconsin from 10 until noon. Jane Mantinere, guest host for Kristen Bragg, and Kristen will be back right after the start of the new year from maternity leave. From noon until 2, of course, the Todd Alba Show. From 2 until 4, it is Matt Flynn Direct. And then the Devil's Advocates from 4 until 6, Maggie Dawn at 6 o'clock. And then I will be back at 6:50 tonight. Again, big one in high school hockey. The Wausau West Warriors taking on the Stevens Point Panthers. I'll be at the KB Willett Ice Arena for the action pregame at 6:50. opening faceoff at 7 o'clock right here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230 online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Ian, have yourself a great rest of your Thursday.
You too, Chad. Happy Thursday, everybody.
And we will see you all tomorrow. Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230.